everyone. Welcome to what we call the Bengals Beat podcast. I've been lucky enough now to have Ted Karras in person twice, which is very rare and hard to do because he's in the busiest time of his season. So let's give it up for Ted for making this in-person appearance.
Thank you, guys.
So when we first did our first in-person podcast, it was really the start, I would say, of the whole Cincy hat launch. And, you know, we really kicked it off. I think we sold 400 hats that night. So I know that you might have briefed people before I walked in, but let's start with how you started this whole Cincy hat thing that has now become, I mean, it's the most popular hat, but more importantly, what your proceeds are all going to.
I would love to. The Cincy hat started, as I explained a little bit earlier, as just I wanted to give it a gift to my teammates. I had a couple one-year contracts in a row. I was going to turn 30. I didn't know if I was going to get a long-term deal, so I was very excited to be here in Cincinnati. And my neighbors make these hats, and we came with this logo down in Florida and just gave it out as a gift. And really what spurred on the charity thing was everyone kept asking me where to get these hats. How can I get a hat? I would just give them to, it was like a token of friendship. And we had lost to Cleveland on Halloween. I know. Terrible. But that next week, I kept getting questions from reporters on how to get these hats. And I was almost a little bit perturbed because I'm like, I was already kind of mad we lost to Cleveland, and now I'm not even talking about the game. I'm talking about these hats. And I decided, you know, let's sell them. People want them, and we're going to do some good with them. We're going to sell them for charity. So all of it benefits the Village of Merici, which is a very unique place. It is the only place in the Midwest that provides a totally independent living style and community for adults with developmental disabilities, most notably autism and Down syndrome. And through these hats, we've been able to triple our footprint of the people that we can house. Now, the Village of Merici serves, you know, the entire city of Indianapolis. They have a fleet of 200 coaches. And the entire mission of the village is to create independence. So with a little bit of coaching, support, and a place to stay, in some cases, you know, these adults can live very fulfilling lives in a community with friends and family, and it's a very underserved need. So very proud to have this. It's really kind of become a phenomenon, if I can use that word, and I'm so thankful. We're closing in on $1 million of hats sold. Wow. So I'm very thankful to the Cincinnati community.
I think that's a really good stopping point for where I wanted to pick up with you, because one of the things that I don't think people necessarily talk about enough with you is I think everybody just assumes you're either from Cincinnati or you've been here your whole life in the way that you've immersed yourself in Cincinnati. And you've really only been here a short period of time. And I think that speaks exactly to the type of person you are, and that when you came here, you didn't just want this to be another stop for you. And from our conversations, it sounds like you really want this to be, you know, when it's all said and done, when people talk about your career, yes, you've won Super Bowls places, but this is where you really want your name to be known. Is that correct?
That is. This is where I want to live. I'm from Indianapolis. Speaking of Super Bowls, we need to get an orange one, though. That's a big deal to me. So, Nine's going to do it. I just want to be on the team when he does. but Cincinnati's been amazing. So welcoming to me and my family. Obviously, like I said, I'm from Indianapolis, and I've been on the East Coast in Boston and Miami playing football, and I didn't even know the weight that was on my shoulders until it was off of being close to my family. Mm-hmm. And so thankful to be here. Cincinnati is an unbelievable town. I have a lot of fun here, and thank you guys for welcoming us so well.
So you started your career kind of moving around a little bit, Miami, New England, now you're here. Does it give you even more confidence when you're able to know you've got your long-term deal in place? The organization couldn't speak more highly of you. You've built this whole fan base around you. Does it give you more confidence when you're going to work on a daily basis, knowing not that you're the type that would ever, you know, take a day off or not do a rep to its fullest, but it's got to be almost like a relief off your shoulders, right? That you're not fighting for the 53-man roster. You're not fighting for if you're going to get a next contract. Like, you know you're in a place, they love you, and you want to be here. Does that help you at all in terms of how you go about your day-to-day business?
Well, it's definitely a better work life than New England was. Zach Taylor does an amazing job, but you know, ultimately, when you get down to football, it is a what have you done for me lately business. So I don't get too comfortable. I think that's a certain death in this league when you start to get too comfortable, because people are coming in to take your job every day. And I'll never forget that. And I'll never take it for granted. I feel very blessed to go in, you know, going into my eighth season in the NFL. It's something, you know, it was a faraway dream that has gone by pretty quick, to be honest with you. And, you know, I'm never going to lose the perspective of coming in and take someone's job, because I did.
Absolutely. Kurt, do you want to come up here and we can, you know, talk to you about what you have going on? And I can stand if that's
well, I'll
easier.
Stand. Since we Kurt, don't have you come sit
here. Chair, but this actually works out great, because when I had asked Ted if he wanted to do this in-person podcast, it sounds like you already have a gig in which you guys are going to be partnering up with the Taste of Cincinnati event. But Kurt, do you want to just tell us a little bit about what you guys have going on here, and you know, why you wanted to expand and, you know, have a partnership with Cincinnati Inquirer and let us come over here and do this podcast?
Absolutely. This is our Community Resource and Distribution Center, and this is a dream that was making for the past 7 years. You know, our team here at the Free Store Food Bank, we have 130 amazing team members that are on the front line of hunger each and every day, 15,000 volunteers. But the support of this community, just as Ted was saying, is just phenomenal. You know, they allowed us to give us this gift of a 225,000 square foot building that will allow us to not only house our distribution of about 38 million meals to families in our tri-state area, but also our two workforce training programs, Cincinnati Cooks, as well as our Lift Tri-State, both free courses to families that are underemployed or unemployed. But the big issue, or the big thing that we love about our partnership with the Bengals organization, is they're such a caring group, such a caring organization that have been doing this now for, this is our 19th year of our Taste of the Bengals. Mm-hmm. And we are one of the largest taste events in the entire NFL. Other food banks around the country call us up and say, how can we replicate what you're doing? And we do it because we've got great players like Ted that step up and say, yes, I want to host this event and really make a difference for the families that we're serving. You know, we just started school, and 8 out of 10 kids are eligible for free and reduced lunches in school. You know, the food that we raise here, the money that we raise here goes a long ways. For every dollar we get in, we can provide the equivalent of 3 meals. So our Taste of the NFL event allows us to raise, you know, about $150,000 every year. But in the 19 years that we've done this, we've raised the equivalent of over $4.5 million.
So for those that are going to be listening to this later on, obviously we post this podcast on Cincinnati.com, on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, where can people, if they want to donate and they're not going to be at the Taste of Bengals event, how can they get involved and help out with what you guys are doing here?
Well, they can go to freestorefoodbank.org and they can click on Donate Now button, but they can also volunteer. But if they need support, if they need those services that we provide, whether it's our food, our wraparound supportive services, or our workforce training, they can get that right there at freestorefoodbank.org. It allows us to reach, we talk about food, connection, and hope. And the food allows us to have a conversation. Just as Ted was saying, when you try to talk about the families that we're reaching, if the pandemic had any kind of silver lining to it, it was basically that people don't have to ask, what's the face of hunger look like? Because people understand that it was their neighbors, it was their friends, it was their family members that were in our food lines. 75% of all the families that we've reached in our large-scale food distributions have never set foot in one of our pantries. And we're trying to make a difference, and we can do that through, you know, partners like Ted and the Bengals organization, because they reach out and really make a difference for us each and every day.
Oh, that's incredible. I'm so glad you shared that. Do you have any questions that you wanted to ask?
I just want to
plug
the event, August 30th. Taste of the Bengals. It's going to be a fun time. I'm really excited.
It's a hoot. I mean, the thing is, we've got not only the Bengals players. I always joke, you know, you can talk, you know, rub elbows with the coaches as well, mm-hmm. give them a few tips. But the beauty part about it is you have 40 of the area's best restaurants mm-hmm. that you have dinner by the bite. So if you want to taste, if you've been to Ruby's, for example, and you say, well, I want to be there. If you want to be Red Feather restaurants. I mean, those folks are always giving to us. Even when the pandemic hit them hardest, they were continuing to support the Free Store Food Bank by ways that we could never understand.
What, I mean, you just talked about, you know, just how much you guys have accomplished in a short period of time, but what are some of the other things on the horizon that we should be looking out for with what you guys are going to be able to do?
Well, I think some people see the little ducks around here.
Yes.
some of them are a little bit bigger. Actually, Ted was nice enough to shine one of these for us that we'll try and raffle off and take a little bit more money in than what Sam brought in. You know, not that there's a competition here, but the Rubber Duck Regatta is something that we've been doing now for 29 years. And we are the largest rubber duck race in the world.
Wow.
For the past 4 years, we've been had to be virtual because of the, you know, the pandemic. But we've been able to sell over 200,000 ducks and raise about $1.5 million every year. We talk about buy a duck, feed a child. And that's what we try to do. For every duck that's sold, it's $5. We can provide the equivalent of 15 meals to children right here in our tri-state area.
And is that available for people to also do that online?
Absolutely. They can go to rubberduckregatta.org and click on the, you know, actually, we know that the ducks swim better in families. So we encourage folks to buy that, you know, that Bob's Quack Pack where you can get $50 worth of ducks. That's 12 ducks, but you get 2 ducks free and you get a t-shirt. You know, you see it up, you know, standing up over there. It's a classic t-shirt and it's something that really, you know, people look for each and every year.
That's awesome.
Do you have a 3X?
We have 3X, absolutely, and we'll get you one, absolutely. Before you leave here, Ted, we'll have you have
you. Family of ducks.
There you go. There you go.
Well, thanks so much, Kurt, for letting us know, and I'm sure that this will be broadcasted wherever we can and to try and get the message out because what you guys are doing is incredible.
Well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate the support that Ted and his teammates are providing to us because we know that a hungry child can't learn and an uneducated adult can't earn.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I still have some more questions for you that I think the crowd probably wants to hear about. Well, so since we're talking about food, I've always wanted to ask you, how many calories do you eat a day?
So I've gotten asked this question quite a bit. I would estimate around 6,000, yeah, 6,000 to 7,000. My relationship with food is horrendous, though, because I'm 315 pounds. I probably, if I just let my body get to homeostasis point, would be at 250.
You have... force yourself to eat more.
I have forced myself to be over 300 pounds. Yeah.
So give us a general preview of what a day of eating looks like for you. What do you like to eat?
Well, I like to eat most things, I would say. Yeah. My favorite food are like cheese fries and cheese hot dogs, cheese dogs.
Does anybody know where to get the best cheese fries in Cincinnati is? Because I would like to know that too.
Skyline's pretty good.
Skyline's
pretty good. Steak and Shake is also a classic. But, you know, it's interesting because that's eating so much volume. You know, our cafeteria is great at the Bengals, but as with any cafeteria, there's a monotony to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of my professional obligation to be at a specific weight. Yep. So I end up eating a lot of Uncrustables. Because they're really easy to eat. And I also drink a lot of calories. So, but they do a great job at the cafeteria. But once that grind time in the season starts, you know, my breakfast will be like 3 Uncrustables and a black coffee and get ready to go.
Wow. You said it's your professional obligation. I've actually never asked you this, and I'm glad that you brought it up. Do you have to get weighed in every day as a professional football player, or is it weekly? How do they know what you're at if that's part of your contract?
So in camp, you're weighed every day, weighed in and weighed out. So that's just to, you know, gauge how you're doing with hydration. Now, in season, there are official weigh-ins once a week, and you have a range. So my range is, I think, 312 to 322. Now, if I'm over that range, if I'm 323, I get fined $760 per pound per day until I'm in my range.
That'll keep you on your diet. I need that type of discipline in my life.
Yeah. That's a thing. And a lot of guys, some guys, there's been precedent in the league that have had, different weight clauses built into their contract. Obviously, like I've mentioned, that's not going to be a problem for me because I would be about 270 in 2 weeks, I think, if I didn't really focus on it. So,
wow, I'm so glad that I asked you that because I had no idea. I knew it was really important, but I had no idea that it was that strict.
It's big business.
Yeah. What along the offensive line, is there a specific position that they want to be the heaviest, or is it all dependent on the player and how they can wear the weight?
I think it's dependent on that. Obviously, I think tackles are probably the heaviest. They're just the biggest people, but there's plenty of big guards. But the interesting thing, like in New England, we played at 305 pretty much across the board. Oh. It was a different offense, a different style of play. They wanted us to be a little bit lighter.
Right.
So different teams have different styles, and I got a good range here.
So you just brought up tackles, and now having watched every training camp practice, it still blows my mind how big Orlando Brown is in pads. He's massive.
He's a huge man.
Tell us a little bit. I know you were super excited. He joined us when we did our first live podcast, and you were super excited about just knowing what he's done in the league. But now having been his teammate every day in meeting rooms, what has Orlando Brown Jr. been like?
Amazing. What a huge pickup for this organization. And credit to Duke and the front office staff. They bring in amazing guys. We have really fantastic guys up and down the roster, but Orlando is a high energy guy. Obviously, he's humongous, and he came in ready to go and learn this offense in basically like 3 weeks in the spring. I mean, it's like playing with an old vet of this offense, and we have an advantage, the four of us that got here last year on the O-line, to be have some continuity going into a season running the same offense. But Orlando doesn't miss a beat. He's a great guy, fun guy to hang out with, and we're going to have a lot of fun this year.
And continuing on with just how big Orlando is, I thought it was a really good question. A reporter asked Frank Pollock, the Bengals offensive line coach, who you know obviously very well, that him next to Cordell Volson, who was exceeded all expectations as a rookie last year, starting every game, the two of them are massive together. And Frank Pollock said that's the biggest tackle guard combination he's ever had. And he's been coaching for a long time.
I don't know. You got me. I had to I posted that one picture. I was like, I swear I'm 6'4", guys. these guys are huge. And Cordell, I mean, he's 6'6", 325. Orlando's probably 6'9".
Yeah, he's huge.
Kappa's not small either. Yeah. So I'm in there battling. I've never thought of myself as the smaller guy, but in this offense, apparently I am.
In all seriousness, from a football standpoint, without getting too in the weeds, how does having that size and that bulkiness on one side like that, specifically the left side, protecting Burrow's blind side, how does that help?
Well, I think size and strength lends to winning one-on-ones, and that's our job. We have to win one-on-one, pass and run, but the majority of people focus on the pass, and we are a passing offense. And to have big guys like that, it's hard to get around them, and that's just, physics. But also, they have great technique, too, and Frank does a good job coaching us up, but we got to go out there and win a lot of one-on-ones because nine's dropping back to deliver the ball downfield.
For you, in this offense, obviously you've mastered it, and I don't think until someone recently asked Zach Taylor about the backup role behind you, that's a big competition in preseason right now with Max Sharping and Trey Hill, dueling it out for what their role is going to be about. He explained that, you're not just coming in there and snapping the ball. You're calling out protections. You really have to be the master of five different positions and making sure everybody's on board. You came in, that was seamless for you. You're voted team captain. You know the offense inside and out. So what is the next step for you? What does it look like?
Winning it all. But the next step for me, you know, I go down a checklist. Center is a unique position. I played both center and guard in the league. So I have a checklist every single play. I get the call. I need to distribute the blockers correctly. I need to deliver the ball, and then I need to win the rep. Those are the four things I'm focused on. So, you know, the biggest thing is delivering the ball and distributing the blockers, you know, and then you need to win. But the next step for me, I think, as a unit, I like to run the ball a little bit better this year. I like to take some pressure off of the passing game. I think we got some great new game plan stuff that Frank and Brian and Zach have done a great job drawing up. But you know, we need to stay on track, maybe take some pressure off Joe every now and then, and those guys outside. So I think just being efficient in the run game, is our biggest next step.
You obviously talked about winning it all, that being the next goal. Come really close. This team has come really close. 1 year without you, 1 year with you. When you get to the AFC Championship game and it's right there in your fingers, how long did it take you to get over the season and then start your process of, okay, I'm on to my next season?
About 2 weeks, yeah. Went down to Florida. You know, obviously wasn't happy with that result. Watched the game. And I start my new – if we don't win it, I start the new season's prep Super Bowl Monday. Huh. So that's when I started it. I was not thrilled that the Chiefs won, even though one of my best friends is the left guard. We played New England together for 4 years. But, yeah, we need to play better when it counts the most. And that's one of the biggest tenets that I live by in football. You can play good sometimes, but when you play good when it counts the most, it makes you a champion.
Is Arrowhead, was that AFC Championship game the hardest venue you've ever had to play in?
Yeah, I went in there and won an AFC Championship game before, and we were close. Probably should have won it. And that's, you know, those regrets will peak back up probably the next 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not focused on that now, but we got to go there December 31st, which I'm sure will have a
New Year's Eve.
Let's have a lot of implications, but there's so much football to be played till then. We need to get off to a better start.
Well, and I only have a couple more questions for you, and I know we'll let you get home and rest because it's your night off. But with that, I mean, it's different this year. Last year, it was about there was a lot of questions about, was it just a fluke that the Bengals had that year and went to the Super Bowl and lost? And then last year, it was about proving that it wasn't a fluke, that you guys are a different Bengals team and you're here to stay and contend every year. When you get through a season like you guys did, and you just mentioned a slower start, would you say that, and I know as players you guys go week to week because you can't overlook an opponent, but would you say that there's a higher emphasis on starting the season better, knowing that you're not just playing the season, you know, for a playoff spot? You guys want to host the playoffs in Cincinnati and make the road go through Cincinnati, and that is dependent on your overall record.
I think that's a huge factor, and it is a week-to-week game, mm-hmm. obviously, but starting 0-2 last year wasn't ideal. We kind of put ourselves behind the eight ball, you know, behind Kansas City. If we could get some AFC West teams to beat them this year, it would be great. they need to stand up in their division a little bit, but no, we definitely want to host. I think that's, you know, it's in the back of your head. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, we're out here playing this game so we can host a divisional round game. We want to win it, you know, just to win it. But when it gets down to the grit of the season and then that game New Year's Eve, that's going to have a lot of playoff implications. So we need to be in a position, you know, to get the highest seed possible.
What's the defensive line look like going up against them every day in practice? What can everyone expect about the Bengals defensive line from someone who has gone up against them? I mean, I don't even know how many snaps you're probably in at this point.
Our defense is going to be really good. We had some really great draft picks this year, too, on the back end in Miles Murphy. But what an advantage it is for me to go against DJ Reader every day. I mean, he's at the top of the league of nose guards. I get basically a month and a half of it's not no pressure, but it's less pressure than a game to hone myself against a guy who's at the top of the league. And that goes for a lot of positions. Trey Hendrickson is unbelievable. He's going to have a huge year. I really don't know how he does it. He's like,
and those matchups with him in Orlando have been fun to watch.
Unbelievable. It's like, you know, he looks like he would just be my banker, but he's a karate master.
I know. Yeah. He's so much smaller than Orlando, but he just whips around.
He whips around. He's an unbelievable athlete. He's very unassuming when you meet him in person, but then he can jump, you know, and hit his head on the rim. So it's pretty interesting.
So some other questions about the team. Is there one player, offense or defense, that has looked particularly good to you in training camp that you want to give a little shout out to?
I'll give a shout out, obviously, to the receivers, but to a young receiver, Yoshi Voss. I think he's played really well.
Seventh round draft pick out of Princeton, a former track star.
Heptathlete.
Yes.
From Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a great job. I think Zach Carter is going to have a big year, and we're going to need him to have a big year, and Cordell Volson, too. I think the biggest jump you take as a player, not always, but is from year one to year two. Just knowing it's not... You're not blinded by the lights. You've been in the league. You know what it takes to be a professional now, and you've grown up. And so we're going to need a lot of these year two guys to have a big impact.
What is there a specific game that you're looking most forward to when the schedule came out? And you kind of see, you know, we all do it. You circle it as this one.
I think any in our division. I mean, this is the first year that I'm not playing a former team, which is nice. That's kind of a relief because those are for sure circled and you want to get those done. We were fortunate last year to beat Miami and New England. I think going to Cleveland, I mean, let's circle week one. And we need to go there and prove that we can win in Cleveland because we haven't done a great job of there in the past. So,
Before I let you go, hat-wise, do you have any new drops coming that people can stay out on the lookout for? What should we expect from a merchandise standpoint this season?
Yeah, so we're going to do a bunch of fun stuff. About every 2 weeks, we're going to come out with a new hat, just a limited edition drop. I brought a bunch of hats here, but we're going to do a bunch of different stuff. Some cool fall stuff. We got the FC Cincy already. They're doing a great job, too. Messi's coming to town Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that happened fast. You guys are keeping me busy.
But you can find everything at thecincyhat.com. Like I said, 100% goes straight to the Village Marici. And every 2 weeks or so, we'll be coming out with some limited edition stuff. I'm going to have different embroidery of guys like on the team, like a Logan Wilson 55 hat signed giveaway. We're going to do a bunch of giveaways, a bunch of different stuff like that. And just keep building the line. It's been a lot of fun. What a unique thing this has been.
It's been really cool to see the way you've built it, and however we can continue to help you get the message out that you're trying to, we want to. And I just wanted to thank Kurt and everyone here for having us, and this was a really enjoyable conversation. I love every time I get to talk to you. So thanks everybody for coming out and tuning into this episode of the podcast.
Thank you guys.